Thank you very much, operator. Good morning to everybody. Thank you for joining us for this call as an update for our dissolved wood pulp project in Brazil from the Lenzing Group. We have, over the last 3.5 years, continuously communicated that it's our strategy to strengthen our backward integration. We have kept you over the quarters updated on the way we went about the site searches. We screened dozens of different locations, evaluating between brown and greenfield. And then beginning of 18, we communicated to you the intention to form a joint venture with Duratex, all subject to the technical evaluations, the negotiations with suppliers, and finally, of course, the approval by the respective boards of both companies. I'm very happy to inform you that yesterday night we actually could get our arms all around all the key terms, key agreements, and as such feel that it's not the right time to inform the market that Duratex and Lenzing jointly have decided to progress with the Amadeus project. In this call, we would like to give you a small recap on some of the key terms of this investment project for the group, but also give you some more insights maybe on things that might be relevant for your model. As a small recap, Lenzing will hold 51% in the joint venture, Duratex 49%. Contrary to initial announcement, we have decided to go for a 500 kiloton dissolved wood pulp mill, a single line one, which will be the largest of its kind. There is some debottlenecking potential in there in the normal scope, but nameplate capacity of the plant is 500,000 ton. The industrial capex will be around 1.3 billion. The majority of that is, of course, denominated in Brazilian real. And Thomas Obendrauf will later on go a bit more into also the hedging aspects of that. The cash cost positioned on the basis CIF China will be absolute cost leadership position in the industry with around $300 per metric ton. One of the unique things about the setup is that we will have not only a very productive biomass base, but also a very close by biomass base. So all in all, I think it's a great and very cost competitive setup. We are now at the point that we have that we are ready to get going with all the EPC. Everything is negotiated, and our plan is that in the second quarter of 2022 we will be starting up the Amadeus mill. We have in total secured some 50,000 hectare plus of FSC certified wood supply. Duratex will contribute to the biomass that is on this plantation as a contribution in kind into the joint venture. And next to the fact that we have worked on all the EPC partners and signed them up, also all relevant permits are in place, whether it's the environmental permits, the installation permit, and so forth. So I think that is all in very good hands. On the next slide, you see a couple of impressions of this site. Out of this total plantation, we have cleaned the land of around 300 hectares, and you see the whole land leveling work here on a couple of images, so that we are ready then also to start with the whole site infrastructure and so on, that really in beginning of Q2 within can get going, or that the EPCs can get going. We have a very strong team over there with really the best of the industry who have worked on other major projects such as Horizonte, such as Klabin projects. It's really the creme de la creme of project management staff that we could get there together. And I feel very excited about the experience that we have in the team, the professionalism that we have in the team there. These are clearly people who have done more than one major pulp mill in Brazil. And I think, you know, we're very proud that we could get such a strong team there together. On the next slide, maybe some things that might help you in your modeling what this means for the group. Here you see plotted the industry cost curve as we would see them see the curve in around 2023. You already have there also some of the more recent announcements in the pulp universe included. But you see that our joint venture will be the absolute cost leader with 500,000 ton and cash cost delivered China, CIF China, of around $300. The average dissolved wood pulp cash cost at this moment in time would, to our estimate, be in the order of magnitude of $670 per metric ton. And if you look at dissolved wood pulp historically, and even excluding some of the peaks, you end up at a historic price of the last some 20 years of $900 per metric ton. That is, of course, different than the current market price that we have. But this is an investment that I think needs to be seen over a very long period of time. On the next slide, a couple of comments with respect to the overall market situation. What we do see is that the capacity is growing industry. In the industry, we see some 2 million tons of capacity over the next years coming into the market. The majority of that capacity is swing capacity. I think from a cost design, not necessarily ideal, but of course the advantage that you can swing into paper pulp and dissolved wood pulp. Overall, I think the message is that structurally, we see more and more swing capacities coming in the market. So that's message one. Message two, on the left side, that we see the leading players in the industry of wood-based cellulosic fibers to strengthening their backward integration. And I think that over time will lead to a further also concentration in the marketplace with I think the leading players covering a larger part of the value chain. Having said that, however, I would like to reemphasize that the cost competitiveness of the backward integration in the industry varies strongly. With that, I would like to hand over to Thomas Obendrauf to take us to give some more color on the financing of this project. Thomas, please.
Thank you, Stefan. Hello and good morning also from my side. So brief update on the financing of the Amadeus project. As it is a joint venture, actually, the financing will be provided 51% by Lansing and the remaining 49% by Duratex. On joint venture level, actually, we have agreed with our joint venture partner on a 37% equity ratio and a 63% debt ratio. The debt will basically be provided by multilaterals in an AB loan structure, as well as one ECA. Actually, it will be Finnvera in Finland. The debt will be guaranteed on a pro rata basis by the two sponsors, and the debt will be raised in US dollar. Why in US dollar? Because actually all the revenues, or basically almost all the revenues, I mean all the dissolving wood pulp revenues, will be denominated in US dollar. There will be only smaller revenues, especially electricity sales and minor wood sales, that would be denominated in BRL. So actually, to make sure that we are within one currency only, we will also now actually enter into hedges to cover actually the construction phase. With that, actually, I hand back to Stefan for the summary.
What we would like to leave you with is the project fundamentals we consider as very attractive. The debt financing, and this is now not the balance sheet itself, but the debt financing itself, we consider as very conservative. We are not at the point to reveal any details of the contracts, because the contracts are to be finalized over the next 2-3 months. However, we feel very comfortable with the structure of the financing, with the tenor of the financing, so that we're going to sail almost independent of the volatility of the commodity viscose market and the textile market in general, to sail very comfortably through the start of the project. We will consolidate, of course, both the P&L and the balance sheet in full, so that also will reflect the full size of the investment. But I would like to reiterate what already Thomas lined up. Duratex, of course, takes care of 49% of equity and debt, as well as of their portion of the guarantees of the 49% of that. So even so, we consolidate it in full. I think it is fair to do some, or let's say, I think it's just mindful that there is some adjustment necessary. I think over the next period, so this is 20 and 21, we still, you know, we're going to be, of course, investing a lot of cash into, you know, the major CapEx project. But I would like to, again, stress that as of 22 onwards, we will be, due to then Lyocell in Thailand having started up, as well as the Amadeus project having started up, become into a very strong free cash flow generation going forward. With that, we would like to finish our elucidation and open up the call to questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw your question, you may press star followed by two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. And please limit yourself to two questions only so that everyone has a chance to ask a question. Should there be more time, we can start a second Q&A session. And one moment for the first question, please. The first question comes from the line of Martin Rüdiger with Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. Unfortunately, I could not see your presentation, so I apologize if the answer to my question is already mentioned in the slides. Can you talk about the planned ramp-up of the trajectory of the Brazilian plant beyond summer 2022, i.e., should we expect full utilization after 12 months or 24 months? And based on your planning assumptions, in which year do you expect to earn cost of capital with this Brazilian plant? Thanks.
Let me speak briefly about the ramp up, and then I will hand over to Thomas to give some more color on cost of capital and so on. Our current planning is that it will take some 18 months max until we're on full operation rate. So I think to assume that by end of 23 we're on full speed is the most conservative assumption that we are working with.
On your second question, actually, anyway, the answer is of course subject to the ramp up of the site. So after reaching actually the capacity by end of 2023 and plant and being basically in a steady state mode, actually from then onwards, of course, it will be earning its cost of capital accordingly.
Thank you.
Next question comes from the line of Markus Meyer with Baader Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. Two questions as well from my side. First of all, could you give indication of the expected interest rates for the debt financing? And then also the second question on this ramp-up phase, what Martin asked earlier, what are the additional OPEX, so basically the ramp-up costs you expect for the ramp-up phase? Thank you.
Thomas, please.
Stefan, let me maybe take the first question on the interest rates. Actually, What we currently have on hand is approvals and commitment letters from the multilaterals and from the one ECA I mentioned before. Actually, the financing contracts will be signed in Q1 2020. So actually, by end of Q 2020, this will be finalized. However, actually, I think with the two strong sponsors behind, I dare to say that overall financing costs will, I think, be overall be quite attractive for us.
And to the second question on the OpEx cost, we're not going to disclose now, you know, the specific OpEx cost during the ramp-up. Of course, the pre-startup cost, we will also capitalize. I think with the color that we have given on the OpEx costs, or let's say on the costs to be delivered, I think that this, you know, needs to do the trick. More details we will not give at this moment in time.
Okay. Thank you.
Next question comes from line of Matthias Pfeifenberger of Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, gents. Couple of questions. So firstly, congrats to the project. I think it's the right move to do in terms of higher integration. You mentioned at some stage on a retail investors fair in Vienna that the leverage could approach 4x. You still stand by this statement? I think that both these projects, Tensile and the dissolving wood pulp, they will be ramped up simultaneously. So will there be a whatever 3.7, 3.8x leverage peak in 21? And also, could you maybe quantify the total capex on top of the maintenance capex in the next 2 years, meaning the conversion costs, the CO2 costs, any other costs, and the two projects? Will it be close to 2 billion? And then my second line of question is basically about the dissolving wood pulp price. So you'll probably use some of the dissolving wood pulp for the new tensor plant, but large chunk of it, I think, will either replace the SAPI contract or you will be selling it externally. So what's your view of the dissolving wood pulp price? I mean, this is quite a big project. Will it have the potential to bring down the dissolving wood pulp price even further? Thanks.
Okay, let me start by the dissolved wood pulp price, and then Thomas will speak on leverage as well as on capex. I think dissolved wood pulp price has two, let's say, three major drivers. The first one is, of course, supply demand of dissolved wood pulp in itself. Second driver is the price level of viscose that you have as being the major outlet for dissolved wood pulp. And number three is the fortunes of the paper pulp market, because you have not on a very short-term basis, but you have a lot of plants, as I mentioned before, that have at least in theory the capacity to swing. We looked at it over historic, we looked at it over reinvestment, and I think what we did conclude is that over time we expect the structural cost of dissolved wood pulp rather to go up due to, I think, the wood situation, particularly in the Asian hemisphere, where a lot of the capacities are around. So I think we will see structural support from that side. I think to short-term make predictions now on dissolved wood pulp, I would not like to do in this call. First of all, I think that does not affect us yet at this moment in time. Structurally, I think with what we have seen historically, we don't find this a particularly bad indication of where we're going to see on the long run, you know, the dissolved wood pulp prices with some additional support, as I mentioned, also from long-term wood economics. Our situation is such that we are very, that we have been very explicit in our commitment to grow in specialty fibers. Yes, for a certain period of time, we will exceed our backward integration targets that we had set ourselves. We are, you know, we have a couple of very strong partners in the industry. We would like to work with those partners for supplying us also going forward. How exactly we will work this out, I think, will be the subject of calls in the more nearer future. But I think overall that is sort of the gist of it. Thomas, maybe on the leverage and CapEx?
On the CapEx, actually, for the next 2 years, I would estimate CapEx in the area of 700 million plus for the next 2 years. That is, of course, then highly subject to the progress on the projects we are making. And whilst of course, the amounts now are quite big, what you have to keep in mind simply is that especially the Brazilian project we are doing with a joint venture partner, and half the financing basically will be provided and guaranteed by our partner. And we will also come up with long tenors accordingly. Plus, actually, we will, of course, cut back all the other CapEx except for these two projects to an absolute minimum. With regards to leverage, mm-hmm. actually, according to our squad end strategy, actually, we said that in the long run, we want to be below 2.5 times net financial debt over EBITDA, below 2.5 times. Will we overshoot this number? Yes, we will, especially in 2021. However, with the long tenors we have agreed with the banks, actually we feel very comfortable, especially for the construction phase, but also for the ramp up phase.
Okay, and the 700 million, that's excluding the maintenance CapEx.
No, the number I mentioned actually would be an all-in CapEx, 700 million plus. As I said before, I mean, this is then highly subject, of course, to the project, to the progress we are making on the projects.
Okay, so you're not really reiterating going beyond 3.5 times leverage, right? Because if I do the math and take a 350 million base EBITDA and take those numbers, it's basically a net debt of 1.7, and you still have an operating cash flow as well. So how can we think about these, in my view, quite alarming statements a couple of months ago that you will be approaching 4 times leverage in 21?
Mr. Pfeifenberg,
if it's only 700 million, then you'll not probably get there, right?
As I said, it will be 700 million plus, subject to the progress we are making on the projects. Could we end up in a range? That is definitely possible. However, this is only basically for a relatively short period of time in the peak. And once actually the two projects actually start generating cash, I think the multiple will go down very, very quickly.
Mr. Pfeifenberger, I made a statement during a retail investor show. What I said at the time was, it is not excluded that in a quarter or two we might exceed this even, and this also was of course referring to the fact that we do consolidate debt that is not on our balance sheet, that is on our balance sheet but not guaranteed by us. And I think that is something that you just need to keep in mind. So there, I think the two messages that are not completely, I think, based on the same definitions.
Yeah, that's fair. It's a fair point that obviously a 4 times leverage is not a real 4 times leverage because half of the financing is secured by Duratex. But that point, actually, you keep mentioning the contribution in kind of the biomass. So is the biomass part of the 1.3 billion or is it on top?
The 1.3 billion is referring to the industrial CapEx. The contribution in kind is not part of the industrial CapEx.
So that means that the cash out will be, for you, will be much larger than 50% of the 1.3, right?
That is correct. We will have a higher portion of the cash out because Duratex is providing the biomass as a contribution in kind.
And are you willing to share what the biomass part is in numbers?
I think if you assume slightly more than 100 million, you're not making a big mistake.
Okay, thanks a lot for the clarity and congrats again.
Your next question comes from the line of Teresa Schinberg with Raiffeisen Centrobank. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I have one question remaining. You mentioned some merchant capacities at the startup of the plant. And could you remind us about when this is expected to be phased out or consumed by your own production and demand for softwood pulp?
Sorry, I'm not sure whether I understood the question well. The question was the merchant capacity, when it will be phased out. I'm not sure which merchant capacity you now refer to.
Well, when you first introduced us to the project, you mentioned that at the beginning, there would be some merchant capacity from the Brazilian plant output. Is there still a merchant capacity or not? That's actually the beginning of the question.
I think the strategy of the Lenzing Group has been continuously that we are a net buyer of dissolved wood pulp, but that we are also selling pulp in to some extent in the merchant market. That will remain the strategy also going forward. The merchant portion after the startup will, of course, increase, but our strategy is to remain a net buyer of dissolved wood pulp on the long run.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any further questions? Please press star followed by one. We have a follow-up question from the line of Markus Meyer with Baader Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so I have to come back to the 700 million plus CapEx. Can you clarify the spreading of this CapEx number? Is it spread over 2 years or some more clarity on this would help?
My statement actually was 700 million for the next 2 years each.
Okay, good. Then I was understood it correctly. Okay, perfect.
Okay.
We have a further follow-up question from Martin Rüdiger with Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
I don't get an answer, but I try. For the engineering work for your Brazilian plant, who is doing the external engineer work? Is it Valmet or is it Andritz or someone else?
We have a mix of different EPC contractors, and we will not disclose today who it is because we have signed LOIs, but I think the firm contracts are we're in the signing of it. So that's something that we might do during the full year update.
Thanks.
And one follow-up question from Mr. Freisenberger. Please go ahead.
Yes, just on the psychology of this, was there a point where you thought, should we maybe scale or basically schedule the tensor plant a bit later to see how the ramp-up of the dissolving wood pulp is and to smoothen kind of the CapEx burden a bit, or was this never on the table and you just said these projects make so much sense from a cost perspective and we've been basically delaying the tensile capacities anyways in the past and we have a really good feeling and commitment level so that we go ahead with both? Thanks.
I think we never considered to slow down the lyocell investment. On the contrary, mm-hmm. I think, as you know, we would have liked to have it already beforehand. So no, that was not a consideration. I think with the Brazilian joint venture, we always knew if we can, in the end, have all things in place, and this is, I think, the right partner, with the competitiveness of what we can accomplish there, plus I think then the right financing structure, this is transformative for the group. I think it makes tremendous shareholder value. And as such, I think it's both strategically and economically a must do. But of course, you know, it was important that I think the financing as such is rock solid. And I think that's what we feel very positive about.
And thank you. And since we have you on the line, do you want to comment on the new downward leg in viscose prices? Or is it just more of the same and it's basically unsustainable? And your Tencel and Modal prices are still very, very resilient?
I would like to do this then during the full year update. You receive the viscose prices. My statement would be the same as we did in the full in the Q3 results.
Okay, fair enough. Thanks a lot.
And there are no further questions on the line. I would like to pass back to Herr Bogoski for closing remarks.
Yes, I would like to express my gratitude and thanks to all of you on such notice to short notice to join us for this update. We feel very positive and grateful that we can do this project. I think it's a great step for the company. Quite some planning and work to get us there, and now we need to execute the project. But there, I think we have the right partner, we have the right team there, and we have the right fundamentals there in place. I would like to thank you also for the whole year of being interested in our company. Wish you and your families all the best for the Christmas and the festive season, and all the best for 2020. Thank you very much. Goodbye.